Morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We're actually going to talk about bluegrass a little later this month. This morning, we're going to talk about Shriver Hall. The Shriver Hall concert series is celebrating its 50th anniversary this season in recitals on the Homewood campus of Johns Hopkins University. The Shriver Hall series has presented some of the world's most famous musicians in an intimate setting, playing and singing some of the great masterpieces of chamber music and introducing new works to the canon. Shriver Hall will celebrate their golden anniversary with a new executive director. Catherine Cochran comes to the venerable arts organization after more than a dozen years at the 92nd Street Y in New York, and Catherine Cochran joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show, and welcome to Marilyn.
Thank you so much, and thank you for this warm welcome. I'm so delighted to be here.
Yeah, and you're hot off the presses. Your first day of work was Monday.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you're very nice to play hooky from work for a little while and come by and chat with us. What were the attractions of this job? You're up there in New York working for the 92nd Street Y, a very, you know, internationally known series of concerts and lectures and stuff. Why did you decide to take an interest in Baltimore?
Well, Shriver Hall Concert Series has a national reputation for excellence, as you said, presenting some of the finest and most compelling artists of the day. And so I've been long aware of the series and its activities. And it's also a place in the artistic community that where it's well known that artists love to perform and come back year after year. And that's there's no finer compliment for a series or an organization than that. So that was definitely a draw. And then also Baltimore as a city is dynamic with a rich cultural life and warm personality, and so living here was also definitely an appeal.
Yeah, great. I mean, so I knew that happened to me when I came to Baltimore way back in 1982. I was living in Boston at the time, and I talked to people about this group that I was interested in, and they seemed to be interested in me, the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. And people said, oh yeah, they're fun to work with. It's really, I've been to Baltimore, I've sung with them, I've played with them, they're fun. Is that what you heard from people, you know, who are appearing with you in New York and just sort of people in the business, performers in the business? Shriver has a good reputation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a place where, as I said, artists love coming back time and again, and that's for the audience, a knowledgeable and appreciative audience. And for the team, the experience of being in the city and rehearsing and being at the hotel and all of that being well taken care of for sure is part of the reputation. And as I did my research and talked to people, it was definitely something I heard both from artist managers and other colleagues as well as the artists themselves.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Now, of course, Baltimore took a hit nationally in terms of its reputation with the riots and uprising that occurred in late April. From your vantage point in New York, you're thinking, oh, I'm about to move down there. I mean, what were your impressions when you saw that coverage, you read about what was going on here?
Well, I'd say that, I mean, it's clear that the arts had an interesting role of that. I'll never forget the day following on social media with Baltimore Symphony doing a free outdoor concert in the midst of all of that and finding that in a remarkable moment. So clearly, you know, the arts were not cowering in a corner by any means, but really much, you know, being community leaders and serving their role as a vibrant and inspiring part to the community here. And so that I found very inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I'd also say that, you know, that moments like that are a blip in time and hardly define a city. And there's certainly, it's an interesting moment for sure. And a moment when the arts in Baltimore are incredibly important. But it's, you know, Baltimore's so much more than that particular moment.
Yeah. Catherine Cochran is here. She's the new executive director of the Shriver Hall Concert Series. She started work on Monday on 88.1. It's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So tell us about your work at the 92nd Street Y in New York. What were you doing up there?
Sure. 92nd Street Y is a cultural community center offering programs in a whole wide variety of areas. It has a 70 concert season. There's an extensive literature program of readings and classes, talks, nursery school, after school, education, fitness, etc. So I worked in the concert program for 14 years. It's primarily chamber music, recitals, as well as jazz and American songbooks. So working the programming and operations of that with artists such as the Tokyo String Quartet, which was in residence for 10 years. Has a niche in classical guitar programming with artists such as David Russell, Benjamin Verdery, LAGQ, the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet, among many others. Working closely with their school of the music there, as well as the educational outreach programs. And then more recently, I have been charged with new initiatives, so looking at other areas of concert programming that could be opportunities, so world music, some Americana, and beginning to carve that out in the programming and offerings of the 92nd Street Y.
So do you think it's going to be much different? I mean, obviously, 92nd Street Y, you mentioned 70 concerts a year. That's many more than you'll be producing at Schreiber. I mean, Schreiber, the series is what, six or seven?
It's 11 in total. Right, so eight in the main subscription series in Schreiber Hall, and then three discovery concerts in different places around Baltimore and Baltimore County.
I mean, the fact that the scale is different, you know, it's going to be a little smaller and it's a smaller market. Does that matter one way or the other to you? Do you think it's going to be different than booking things in Manhattan?
It's certainly going to be different. I think, though, Schreiber has a very vital role in serving the community. And I think being able to really focus deeply on that is one of something I find very exciting and I'm looking forward to. And I would say that, you know, in some ways, it's not different. The artists who are coming to Schreiber Hall, and that Schreiber Hall is attracting season after season, are exactly the same in terms of caliber and international reputation, and that. So, in some ways, yes, it's familiar as well as being. It'll be a change.
Yeah. Does it matter that the market here, in terms of the audience, is smaller? You mean there's just a smaller pool of people available to come to concerts. When we talk about, you know, attracting people to classical music now. In New York, I remember years ago, I had a friend who was conducting Messiah at Lincoln Center. And it was in December. It was Handel's Messiah, which is a, you know, Christmas thing that they do every year. Them and a whole lot of other people. He was coming from Boston. He had a group in Boston. His name is Marty Perlman. It was a group called Boston Baroque. And he looked in the New York Times, and there were 12 performances of Messiah happening in Manhattan Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were starting at 9 o'clock in the morning at Carnegie. Mm-hmm. And he said, how does anybody, you know, attract an audience? But in fact, they sold out, you know, Avery Fisher, because there's just so many people. I mean, there's 10 million people in New York. If, you know, 0.1% go, then you've got a big crowd. Does the size of the market matter to you strike you as something that's going to be important in terms of your outreach to audiences?
I guess I don't think so much about size. I think about who's coming. You know, so Shriver is very lucky to have a strong subscriber base, a loyal, supportive subscriber base as our core to build off of. And then what I'm really interested in is looking at the different aspects of Baltimore, different communities in Baltimore and beyond, and how we can welcome them in and provide a personal invitation to them that this is music for them and that we are here to be a resource for them.
Yeah. Have you, you worked, as I understand it, with NPR Music in New York, and you did some initiatives with, I guess, the New York Philharmonic and the Met. You were collaborating with other organizations. What were the nature of those collaborations, and how will that experience inform what you might do here in Baltimore?
Sure. Yes. Collaborating was a big part of what we did in New York. And each one was its own creation. So with performance organizations like the New York Philharmonic or the New York Guitar Festival and such, it was co-programming, bringing our resources together to create a festival or ongoing chamber music series, in the case with the New York Philharmonic, with Performance Today and QXR and with NPR Music, it was around broadcasting, obviously. We kept providing our recorded concerts to them for broadcast, but also with NPR Music, that was a very special occasion when we did a memorial concert for jazz pianist Marion McPartland, who well known for her piano jazz series. And we were part of NPR Music's Jazz Night in America, which was incredibly exciting to have a national webcast. So in terms of looking at Shriver Hall and how this will inform, absolutely. I think that, as I said, Baltimore has a rich cultural life with a number of wonderful music organizations and community organizations, and finding those connections and places to build off of and create new projects, sort of bigger and better than either of us could do on our own, is something I'm definitely is definitely a priority in terms of, you know, amplifying our message and finding new audiences and new entry points for audiences. Mm-hmm.
What do you think the message is for Schreiber Hall? It's interesting that, you know, all the organizations here in town, the Symphony, my organization, the Choral Arts Society, the Baltimore Chamber Orchestra, we're all interested in connecting with the community. We use this rhetoric that talks about connecting and relevance. You know, the museums talk about this, the theater companies talk about this. What do you think the connection point is for a group like Schreiber Hall, a series like Schreiber Hall, and the broader community?
Well, I would say music is not a luxury for a community. Arts is not a luxury for a community. It helps us understand ourselves and the world around us. It broadens our experience and sparks our imagination and really enriches our daily lives. And it's both a private experience, but also a collective experience. And I would say with Schreiber Hall, it's experiencing thrilling live encounters in an, as you said, an intimate space that you can't experience on your own in a recording. And we focus on recitals and chamber music, and I think we're, if I dare say, the best place to hear that and have that experience here in Baltimore.
You're definitely allowed to dare to say that. You know, there are other people who may say the same thing, but they can be dared to say it too. That's your gig now, you know.
Indeed.
The people in the classical music business have been predicting the demise of classical music for years. I mean, Ernest Fleischmann, who was the executive director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, wrote an op-ed, I think, 50 years ago saying, you know, classical music is dead. We should all jump ship now. It hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
What's your take on the current status of classical music with the body politic?
I'd say yes. The people have been asking that question for decades, and we are all still here. I think how people listen to and experience music and consume it has certainly evolved. It's always been evolving. And I think we're at an incredibly interesting moment as we have a number of artists and performers and composers who, through the wonderful advent of technology and from the last 15 years and such, have consumed a broader range of music than ever before was, you know, really possible without enormous effort. And so I think that that diversity of point of view and that vibrancy is absolutely there. And I think in terms of how classical music exists, not in a vacuum, but is interacting with other forms of music and other forms of artists and other genres. And so I'm excited.
A guy named Jesse Rosen, who heads a thing called the League of American Symphony Orchestras. It's the professional organization for symphonies in the United States. Many years ago, coined a term called CANA, C-A-N-A, culturally aware non-attenders.
Mm-hmm.
People who knew about the symphony, knew about the opera and the ballet in their cities, but they just didn't go for various reasons. You know, the chances are that there are a number of culturally aware non-attenders even just listening to us this morning. State the case to them for why they should give Schreiber Hall a try.
Schreiber Hall is, it's thrilling. It's about the joys of live performance and that dynamism and electricity and an intimate encounter between artist and audience that you cannot experience in any other genre. And experiencing that with people sitting next to you and the element of the unknown of what's going to happen in any given concert. I think that's the biggest why you should get off the couch and come to a live performance.
Yeah, and with the internet and the you know, huge ubiquity of music that you can find on YouTube and on iTunes for almost nothing or particularly nothing. It really is a different experience when you're in a hall with other people listening to music being performed.
Absolutely. They complement each other.
But the internet can both be then a good thing and a rotten thing for us trying to get people interested in art music.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the internet helping and hurting Schreiber Hall?
I think it's if it's a tool of exploration and discovery, that the barrier of experimenting with something new or saying, oh, I've heard about this person, what is that all about? It's you just go to YouTube and in that, you know, in that moment and for no cost, you can discover that. And then I think the much richer, deeper dive is the live performance, the unknown and the high quality that, you know, not everything online is of the highest audio quality.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
Well, Catherine Cochran, welcome to town.
Thank you.
Break a leg.
Thank you very much.
All right, Catherine Cochran, she's the new executive director of the Shriver Hall Concert Series in Baltimore. Concerts take place in Shriver Hall on the home campus of Johns Hopkins University. Their 50th anniversary season kicks off September 20th with a recital by a Shriver Hall favorite, the pianist Yefim Bronfman. We'll have a complete list of all of the concerts they're offering this summer, or this season, rather, on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. Fashionista Zoe Washington stops by in a little while to talk to Sheila about the changing landscape of fashion magazines. Stay with us.